What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a very long overdue episode of Backyard Relief. In case you forgot, my name is Cody.
And I'm Alex.
And Alex, why don't you kind of update us on where we've been? I mean, it's been since August since we've had an episode released. So what's going on in your life?
Yeah, I feel like it's been forever since we've done this. So early September, I started a new job with Yates Construction. Left the government sector to work in construction. So that's been kind of crazy. I guess we stopped doing it because new job and then rolled right into the holidays. And then now coronavirus has kind of been going crazy. But bigger news, I guess, than that is about October, me and Stephanie found out we're having a baby. So now it's kind of been baby all the time for us.
So tell everyone, boy or girl?
We are having a boy. His name is Barrett. And he will be here at the end of July, Lord willing.
Awesome. Well, that's going to be a good segue right there to lead us into our topic today. We're going to be talking about pregnancy / parenthood. I know that's a big deal coming up for you.
Yeah, it's basically all that I can think about for the most part.
For those that don't know, I'm sure you do know, though, I have a six-year-old and about to be seven-year-old, so I've been through this before.
Yeah, it's crazy how big he's gotten.
All right. So do you feel like you're ready right now to have a baby? I mean, at this point in your life, you know, financially, I mean, how do you feel about that right now?
I mean, me and Stephanie both talked about it for a little while beforehand and went back and forth on when's actually the right time to do it or if there is actually a right time to have a baby. And then we kind of just found out we're having a baby. So now is the right time to have a baby.
Were y'all trying though?
I mean, we tried a good like one or two times and then it was, here's a baby. So.
So what made y'all decide to start trying in the first place, though?
You know, we had talked about it for a couple of, a couple of years. I mean, we had talked about it before we even got married, you know, when we would actually decide to have a kid. And it was always like, we want to wait till we're in our careers or our money's in the right spot, or maybe we've bought a house already. And then we kind of stopped one day and looked at each other and we both had careers, we both had bought a house already, and our money was in a right spot, or I guess as right as it could be. Yeah. You know, I mean, I always hear you're never going to have enough money to have a kid, but I feel like we do fine enough, just the two of us, so we kind of were just talking one day, and we're like, hey, why not try to have a kid? And we never were, like, planning beforehand, you know, not to have a kid. I mean, not to get too TMI or anything here, but like Stephanie never was on birth control or anything like that. That just wasn't something that she was interested in doing. And so when we decided that, hey, we're going to have a kid, it was a pretty easy thing to just say, okay, well, we're not going to use any protection and then let's just see how this thing goes. And then we didn't, and now we're about to have a kid. So
there you go. My was not planned at all.
As most I feel like. I don't think most kids are planned these days, you know?
I mean, it's crazy to think that he's almost seven, and I had him when I was 20. I found out that I was going to have a baby, and, you know, I feel like you're way better off than I was.
No,
And it's just nuts.
I don't know about
that. I'm happy for you guys, though.
I still remember the day that you called me and told me that you were gonna have Cameron.
I don't even remember. This.
I was at Stephanie's house and I had to. I mean, we were still dating back at this point. Back in 2012, I guess is when that would have been, right?
Yeah, he was born in 2013. So
yeah, so back in 2012, I'm over at Stephanie's house and I think we were taking a nap or something because I had to go to work later that afternoon, and we were both laying in the bed and my phone rings and I'm like, oh, it's Cody, and I answer the phone and you go, hey, I have something to tell you. And I put the phone against my chest, and I was like, dude, Erica's pregnant. And then you said, we're having a baby. I cracked up for just a second because I had called it, but then my brain kind of went into, like, holy crap. Like, you're having a baby now. Like, what's the plan now? Like, what do you do?
Well, I mean, for those that don't know, I mean, her and I were not together when we found out, you know, we'd actually just broken up. So that, you know, that kind of messed with my mind. I was still going through a breakup and then I get the news that I'm going to be a dad. And it was just a lot to take in, you know, and the uncertainty of our relationship and is he going to grow up with us separated, which he is right now. But it, I mean, it was, yeah, it was a lot. And it's very hard to do when you're not in a relationship.
So, I mean, how do you initially react to that? Like, when you first found out that you're having a baby, like, what was your initial gut reaction when that happened?
It was just disbelief, but honestly, like, I just jumped in. I was like, all right, so, I mean, what are we going to do? Like
were you there when she took a test? Like, did she say, hey, I might be pregnant, I'm going to take a test and let you know? Or was it just, like, out of the blue?
No, it was out of the blue. I was at...
Like, you're at Wendy's ordering your food, and she's like, by the way, I'm having a baby, and you're like, let me get an extra 4 for $4. Like, how does that go down?
No, I was in college still, so I was at University of Memphis actually studying. And then I just got a call. She's like, I need you to come over. I need to talk to you about something. And I was like, we're broken up. We're not talking anymore. This can't be good. Like, I don't know what's happening.
Is it safe to say you failed whatever you were studying for at that point?
I don't even remember what I was studying. I probably did. Like, I couldn't, like, when she told me that I was studying, I was like, I can't even continue studying. Like, my heart, I was like, I don't even know what's going on. I was like, I got to find out. I'm just going to leave. Like,
I
think I was actually studying before class, and I left class early because I just couldn't sit there anymore. I had to know what was going on.
Okay, for all the ladies out there listening, whenever you say we need to talk, just know that whatever we're doing at that moment, it means nothing now. Like, we're going to drop everything. We could be in the middle of doing heart surgery, and we're going to be like, you know what? Other doctor, you need to scrub in because I can't think about anything else except for we have to talk about something.
Yeah, those words are never good. I don't ever want to hear those words.
So was it a good reaction or bad? Like, when you found out, what were you happy? Were you nervous? Were you sad? Like, walk me through how that actually goes down, especially from, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but like not being in a relationship and you're expecting that, okay, well, I guess this chapter's done. Like, yeah. How do you process all that when it happens?
I mean, I don't think there's a book on that or anything, but I mean, you just kind of learn as you go. But right in the moment, I was just asking her, you know, what she was going to do with it. She decided she was going to keep it. She told me that, and I was like, all right, well.
Right. I mean, that opens up a whole nother door, though.
And
like,
I told her, I was like, well, I'm here, like, for whatever. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here to help raise the baby. Like, I'm not going to just, you know, be a deadbeat. Like, I'm here to step up. So.
Well, that's a whole nother level of. Like, oh, we're having a baby that I've never even really thought about. Because for me, I mean, I've been dating Stephanie since I was 17. So whenever we decided let's have a baby, there wasn't, like, I guess that part that a lot of people do struggle with is, oh, I'm pregnant. Now here are the options, you know?
Right.
You could have an abortion, give the baby up for adoption. You can have the baby. Like, I guess I didn't ever go through that train of thought of what are we going to do now that we are having a baby. So was that... Like, did you guys go through those steps, or did it jump straight to, okay, we're having a baby now, what are we doing?
I mean, I think she already had her answer in her mind. I mean, that was my first thought, was like, oh, God, like, is she going to keep it? Is she going to give it up for adoption? Is she going to have an abortion? Like, I didn't know what her decision was going to be, but I knew it was her decision.
Right.
I mean, I could tell her how I felt about it, but I knew already at the end of the day it was her decision. I probably wouldn't have supported any other decision than the one that we chose.
Right.
Which I'm glad she chose that. But, yeah, I mean, that thought does cross your mind. But thankfully, she already had her decision made, and there really wasn't much to talk about except what do we do now?
Well, and now you have Cameron and everything. Yeah. It's hunky-dory, right?
Hunky-dory? Yeah, with me and Cameron.
Everything's great.
Yes.
Everything's great is what we're going to say.
Yeah, everything's great. Now, like, and then you got the whole pregnancy. I mean, that's a whole 9 months that we're not together. Like, her and I were not together the whole time.
Right.
And we had to figure out how to navigate that. And, you know, she always included me in everything. So, I mean, I'm very thankful and, you know, gracious for that because she didn't have to. But, I mean, I'm glad she chose, you know,
right,
for me to actually be involved in everything and be in his life and be a part of that. And, you know, we had kind of wanted to work on our relationship after we found out he was, you know, that she was pregnant and he was going to be born. Obviously it's better to have, you know, a one family household for him.
Both people there.
So we tried that.
Support system anyway, yeah.
We actually got back together after he was born and stayed together for 2 years and it just didn't work. I mean, it is what it is. But that whole pregnancy thing and not being in a relationship, I mean, how You're married now, so how's that working for you right now? I mean, have you seen any changes in, I mean, how are you navigating that?
I would say that things have changed just in the sense that we know we're gonna have a baby soon. So it's kind of like having an ever-present timer in your mind all the time. Like, you know, if you wake up 10 minutes before your alarm goes off and you're like, man, I can go back to sleep for 10 more minutes, but you never actually get back to sleep because you
No.
know that you only have 10 minutes left. It's kind of been like that for 9 months where, like, there's this timer that's going to go off that we can see all the time. And I mean, it's a slow burn type thing. Like, Stephanie hasn't gone through any violent mood swings or anything like that. I mean, she's been hungrier at times where she wouldn't have been before, or she's got to pee every 5 seconds or whatever. But for the most part, it's been pretty steady going, which I think is the most difficult part of the whole thing. Like, I expected there to be more radical, gradual changes throughout the whole process. That way, like, to acclimate myself to when, like, baby's actually here, I've built up this immunity to all kinds of crazy things happening. But I mean, I feel like for the most part, it's just been
I feel like,
I'm hungry or I need to pee, you know? Like, it hasn't been anything really
and you guys
crazy.
have built that relationship over years, though, so it's probably a lot,
I mean,
easier versus, me and Erica had maybe known each other for 2, 3 years at the time.
I say that
So,
now trying to think back to something that would have happened, but, like, I mean, you were here earlier. Like, the fuse is way shorter with Stephanie than it used to.
yes, it is.
Like, little tiny things that wouldn't have necessarily even been a big deal ever. But, like, those kind of things just set her off if I'm not, hey, babe, I need you to do this thing right now. And I'll be, okay, cool, I'm about to do it. While I'm also in the middle of doing something, and she's like, no, right now, this needs to be done. It's the most imperative thing that's ever happened. I'm like, okay, cooking dinner can wait. I'm gonna go do whatever it is that you're asking me to do. But I mean, none of it's been like, I don't know. I mean, no, we haven't, like, had any knockdown, drag out fights or
That's
anything
good.
because of it. It's been pretty, I would say, pretty steady. I mean,
What's changed with you, though? I mean, aside from her, I mean, obviously, there's a
shoot,
lot of things
that's,
changing with her, but.
I think just the inevitability of the whole thing. Like, you never really know for sure when you're ready to have a baby. You know, you think about it and you talk about it, and it's all cool to talk about when it's not actually there. And then you eventually get pregnant and the baby's gonna be here, and then you're kind of like, holy cow, whether I'm ready or not, like, the baby's gonna be here no matter what. So I have to either get
Exactly.
myself ready or I'm gonna be worse off at the end. So I think for me, it's all about, like, and you know me, I'm a classic overthinker. I'm trying to, like, look up all I can all the time and read books and podcasts and just try to learn as much as I possibly can to be as prepared as possible. And now with the whole dang coronavirus thing in the mix, I mean, I feel like it's just, I guess part of it's good because we've just been hanging out at the house, both of us, all the time, so we've gotten a lot of just me and her time that we maybe wouldn't have necessarily gotten before because would've been like, okay, last ditch effort, gotta hang out with the boys as much as possible. Baby's about to be here. But we've had that time to hang out together and kind of figure out and talk through a lot of the things of, oh, what are we actually going to do once baby gets here? What if this is happening or this is happening, or who's going to go to work and who's going to stay working and all that stuff. So I think for me, it's a marathon that's being run in my head all the time of what am I going to do once the baby gets here? And then as soon as he gets here, I'm going to throw it all out and have to just learn on the fly what I'm supposed
I'm
to
glad you're realizing that because
do.
you've asked me several times, like, when do you know you're ready? I'm like, you're never going to be ready. Like, no
No,
one's
and
ever ready for a baby.
I think I've accepted it to this point that I'm not gonna, like, it's just one of those things that you don't know until you've been there. I kind of, in my head, I've kind of built it up to be like when you start a new job, you know, you try to be prepared as possible to do that job, but then you don't actually know what it entails until you
Right.
get into doing the job, and then you make all those mistakes at the beginning that the people who've been working there for years are like, what are you doing?
Right.
Is your first day here or what? And then you just kind of do your best to pick up and keep doing better as you go. And that's the approach I'm going to try to take with it. It's just one day at a time.
That's a very good approach. Just take it one day at a time.
Especially
for you. Like you said, you're an overthinker, your anxiety gets to you.
It's gonna be rough, but it's a new challenge. I'm excited for that. I think that it's gonna be something that teaches me a lot of things that I wouldn't learn otherwise. I guess it's the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to anyway.
All right, let's talk about something. The actual act of giving birth. Are you nervous about that? Do you have any questions?
Personally, I'm not nervous because I don't have to squeeze a watermelon out of my goodie bits, but I'm nervous in the sense that Stephanie's never done it before, and she's also generally very healthy, and I've never been with her when she's in like a medical type scenario, you know, where there's nothing I can do. I can't make the doctor be better, and I can't like make her situation better. So I'm nervous in the sense that I can't. There's nothing I can do to help her in that situation. But I also know that she's very healthy and whatever else. So I'm not nervous for the outcome or any of that. I mean, granted, there could be all kinds of unexpected that you don't ever think of. But I'm not nervous for the actual birth. I mean, I'm nervous that she's gonna be in pain, but personally, I'm not. I mean, how were you when Erica was having the baby?
I mean, like I said, we weren't together, so it was, you know, just a little awkward, and you know that I'm even there. But my main focus was just trying to make her feel as comfortable as possible. I mean, it's, you know, you got all these doctors in there and nurses, and it gets crazy in there, and you can't really prepare for that either.
Right. Well, I mean, and I guess that leads us into another point of this, because Stephanie and I aren't going the normal route with all of that. I mean, we're choosing to have the baby at home with Brittany. My sister is a midwife, and she's going to be delivering the baby here in our house. And when Brittany first decided to be a midwife and was telling us about all, like, what all that meant, I was like, what, like, why would you ever do that? Like, we have hospitals for a reason. Like, that's what you do. You go into labor, you go to the hospital, you have the baby there, and then you leave a day or two later, I guess. I don't really know exactly how all that goes most of the time, but that's what I imagined. And now, I don't want to say it's just because of the coronavirus stuff, but Stephanie's obviously very close with my sister, and we had kind of talked about it beforehand, like, oh, do we want Brittany to deliver the baby? How does that work with insurance and everything else? And then we sat down, we prayed about it for a while, and we both decided that that's kind of the route we wanted to go. You have the baby at home, you get to go back to your room. You don't have to get discharged or have people coming in and poking and prodding all the time. Like,
it's going to be more comfortable for her, I would imagine, anyway.
I don't know. Initially, I don't know that it will be more comfortable just because there's not, the opportunity for epidural or anything like that. But, I mean, that goes back to what I was saying before. Like, she's healthy, and she's getting checked out all the time, and there's nothing that's, jumping out at you to say that, oh, she's going to have this problem or this problem. You know, like, it should. If everything progresses like it's been going, it should just be a normal childbirthing horrific experience. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to feel more comfortable just because my sister's the one doing it, and I trust her more than anybody, and I feel like if something's going wrong, she'll look at me and be able to tell me, hey, straight up, this is what's going on. I need you to do X, Y, and Z. Instead of being in a hospital, you don't know. Like, all these professionals just kind of running around you doing what they're doing, and their first priority isn't giving you an update on, you know, what's going on. So I don't know that we would have gone this route had Brittany not been a midwife. So I think that definitely helps, you know, to push us in that direction. But I don't know. I'm kind of in the vein that, as little medicine type stuff as possible is the best route to go, just in general. Like, I don't like taking medicine just anyway. Like, if I'm hurting or whatever, Stephanie's twisting my arm to get me to take Advil or whatever else. So I already think about it like that anyway. So with childbirth, your body's meant to do it. And obviously I'm a male, so I'm not exactly the expert to be speaking on this, but that's what your body is designed to do. So granted, some kind of problem, then you should be able to do that pretty unencumbered by yourself. Like, that's what you're designed to be able to do it, I guess. And so that, yeah, we've kind of been going, everybody that we've told about that so far is kind of like, why are you doing that? Why would you decide to do that at home?
I'm for it.
When you could go to the hospital. Like, we have neighbors that are nurses or whatever, and they're like, what are you doing? Why would you not go to the hospital? But I'm kind of like, why would you go to the hospital? Like, I get a closer, or I get a more personalized
right,
care.
Right, it's a more intimate, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, and it's a family between... member that's doing it, so it's more, and it's our first time doing it. So I don't know, to me, it just seems like we get to be in our own home, and we get to be comfortable. As comfortable as you can be in that situation.
Yeah, I remember Stephanie saying that she can just go outside and walk if she wants to, or she can go take a shower or take a bath. Like, she can do
yeah,
whatever
like
she wants to at the house until it's time to start pushing.
It makes sense for us because we're in the situation. But I mean, I totally understand why people are like, what the heck are you doing right now? This makes no sense that you would
right.
be going that direction. But for us, it just made the most sense for us to do it that way. So
my advice for you... I know you said you're not really nervous about anything, but if you do find yourself stressed, don't let it show. You have to be able to comfort her. As soon as you start freaking out, she's going to start freaking out.
Right, that's the thing. Brittany already asked me, what's my plan? What do I plan on doing or whatever? And I'm like, I mean, I guess I can be there holding her hand or holding her hair or, like, just being, like, right there behind her. But also knowing myself, like, I feel like I'm going to be pacing back and
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, you can't do that.
In the room. But it's like an innate reaction, you know? I just want to get up and be moving and being, you know, like... rubbing my hands together, like, what's going on here? Like, yeah, I'm just antsy in general, and, like, what if it's at 2 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, like, yeah, that's one of those things where I'm not going to know until it's there, and I'm hoping that there is just some sort of innate parental reaction that takes over and allows me to be the perfect support system person. I mean, thinking about it right now on the fly, it's terrifying.
I'm a little worried for you.
And I don't know how I'm going to do. But, I mean, I don't know. Any other kind of stressful situation that usually comes up, I'm usually able to push all that other stuff down. Like, if it's really a stressful situation, I'm able to push it down and just kind of grit and bear it. And then I get to go freak out later on in the bathroom or whatever. But it's not just freaking out. Like, it's not that, oh, she's going in for life-saving surgery. You just have to sit here and be... You're getting something amazing at the end of it, you know. Like you're looking forward to something the entire time. So I think that it's going to be more of a like Christmas morning. I'm so excited to unwrap my present. I'm just waiting
right.
for it to get here, kind of thing. Instead of a oh crap, I'm just freaking out because I don't know what the other end of this looks like. So I don't know.
Well,
I mean, I guess we're going to see here in a couple months. But
I've been praying for you guys, and I will add praying for you to.
I appreciate
not be
that
because
yeah, I'm gonna. And the closer it gets, I think the more, like, mentally prepared I'll be for it. Like, once it's actually about mm-hmm. to be here, I mean, I hope that's kind of
yeah.
what I'm trying to condition myself into being. But, I mean, yeah, what can you do? Pray about it and try to be as supportive as possible the whole time. I don't really know what else you can do from there.
You'll be fine. I think you'll do great.
Hey, hopefully Stephanie does great. She's a rock star most of the time, so I think she'll do really good about it anyway. Oh, goodness. So, I guess then you have the baby, and then it's here. Like, what to you so far has been the most stressful part about actually being the parent?
Right now, it's a little different. I guess I'll go back to when, you know, he's first born. I mean, there's just a lot to learn, and you're going to make mistakes, and it is stressful to make mistakes, but, I mean, you just got to learn from them. Because like I said, nobody's ready. You got to make mistakes and keep going. But right now, things that I'm stressed about are, you know, am I being a good example for Cameron? Like, am I setting a good example for him? Am I parenting correctly? You know, is there a right way and a wrong way? But which, you know, I've kind of found out there's really no right or wrong way. It's whatever way you think is correct. You know, there's no wrong answer to how you parent. And then, I know this is something you wanted to talk about. Am I being selfish? You know, that's kind of a hard thing to navigate is, you know, my personal desires versus what's best interest for you know, my child.
Right.
So that's something I'm, you know, have been struggling with. I'm doing a lot better at it now. Patience. How are you? Are you a
patient
person?
Patience is probably the biggest thing that I'm worried about. But back to what you were saying about being selfish as a parent. I mean, I've spent the – so you grow up as a kid, and I mean, you – I guess you're innately selfish as a kid because you don't know any other way. But then you spend your whole life growing up being taught how not to be selfish. And really, your time is what your parents allow your time to be. You know, like, and I spent a large part of my childhood grounded, honestly, because I got in trouble all the time. But, like, so once I finally got out on my own in college, I've spent my time since then, so back in 2011, I guess, like, learning how to do things the way that I want to do them, when I want to do them, how I want to do them, right. And then building the life that we have now with Stephanie. I mean, obviously, you're in a relationship, and you get married and all that, and so a lot of that goes away, but then you start building something together,
mm-hmm.
And then now we're going to have a baby, and the focus shifts from what we wanted,
right,
to what's the best thing to do for our baby. So I mean, you know me, I like to have buddies over all the time, yeah, and that's hanging out on the patio, watching football, and doing everything else. Like, I don't know how I'm going to navigate it. I know that, I mean, I guess it makes it a little easier because I'm having a boy and I want him to be able to do the same things that I want to do, basically sitting down on the patio, drinking beer, watching football. But, like, who knows if that's what he's actually going to want to do. And when they're a baby, right. They don't care about any of that stuff. Like, it's not until he's, like,
that's
10 or 12 years old that he cares about that. So that's 10 years down the road, you know?
What you said is hurting me hard right now because I'm not sure how interested Cameron is in baseball. He tells me his favorite sport is soccer, and that hurts because I am not a soccer person at all.
But then you have the opportunity to be a soccer person if you want to. Like, it's not something that
I don't want to, though.
You're not necessarily interested in it because you want to be, but you want to be interested in it because Cameron's
I go to his games. It's not like I'm not just going to show up to his games.
That's
because
why
it's
I'm
soccer,
just
but
not going to allow soccer to be on the television. And we're only going to watch reruns of the Memphis Tigers' good season. So he only thinks that Memphis is a great football team, and he just loves them all the time.
Thankfully, he says he's interested in basketball now, so
which
we're going to get him started in basketball, and
but
we'll see
how
he does in that.
6, 7 years old? I mean, a lot of that's up for debate.
And he's only played one season of T-ball right now.
Right.
I mean, he was about to start Coach Pitch, but with the virus going on, they canceled the season.
Right.
So I think once he gets out there, he's going to enjoy it. But, I mean, there's still a possibility that he doesn't like baseball, and that's going to hurt me a lot.
Well, and I think back to, like, looking at what I want to do all the time, I think that's going to change just because we're having a baby. And what I'm going to want to do all the time is being with my son and doing all these things. And so it's not –
I'm just now starting to accept that.
Yeah,
being honest, like, I really am. And I'm taking all those moments that I have with him, and I'm not going to take them for granted anymore.
Right.
I have in the past.
Well, and you could grow up having the greatest childhood of all time, but you still look at it like, oh, man, I'm going to make sure I do this thing with my son or this thing with my daughter that my mom or dad never did with me. Like, I'm like all these moments are racing through my head now that I want to be able to do with him that I didn't have the opportunity or maybe the timing wasn't right to be able to do with my dad. And so I'm already thinking of all these things that I want to do, and, I mean, whatever else is going on in the world at that time isn't necessarily going to – I mean, we're going to make every Memphis football game, and we're still going to do the tailgating, and Dallas Cowboys are still going to
be – a Cowboys fan.
Dallas Cowboys are still going to be on the TV, but it's going to take the backseat to whatever other stuff could be going on, you know? I'm saying all this stuff out of character because I don't know and I haven't been in the situation, but it's like an ideal version of what I want it to be. I really want him to be into the things that I'm into, but at the same time I want him to be his own individual and like things that I don't like. That's going to open up the doors for me to then look at that stuff, because let's be honest, soccer sucks. Like, I think soccer's terrible and I don't want to like soccer, but if my son's like really loves soccer and wants to watch it, like, I'm going to be as enthusiastic as possible about it and want to like it because he likes it.
Yeah. I think for me, I've learned a lot of like what is actually unimportant. Things that I previously had put like up high on my list of importance, right. like now I realize that it's not so important and I can take time away from that and give that time to Cameron. So
how has that gone like with all his school and stuff like that? Because just like my parents were not really involved with me. Like once I got into school, like I cannot tell you one time that my parents were ever like, oh, have you done your homework? How are you doing in this subject? Like my report card came and that's when they knew what was going on. Like, are you super involved in how he does schoolwork or what? Like, because I want to be just because I want to make sure that they're, like, I want to give them the best foot to stand on.
Yeah, so my situation's a little different because I only see him every other weekend. So I don't necessarily get too involved with schoolwork. Now that this coronavirus is out, though, and I've actually got him every other week. Thank you, Erica, for that. We're actually doing stuff online and, you know, teaching them stuff, but it's really a lot
Zoom
of
meetings, right?
Yeah. Well, a lot of it is my mom though, because she's a teacher, so she's not teaching right now.
Hey,
my
stepmom's a school teacher. I think that's an invaluable resource that you don't think about, but I feel like it could be super helpful. I could call her up and be like, yo, I don't know how to do this Common Core division or whatever else. Like, how do I do
that
yet?
But I'm dreading that too. But my mom's been doing a lot of the teaching right now just because I'm at work during the daytime and she's not doing anything else. So she's been helping out with that and I'm so grateful for that. But I do multiplication with him in the car. He's 6 years old and he can multiply things. And we do, I mean, anytime I'm in the car with him, because I have to drive from Olive Branch back to Arlington whenever I go pick him up or drop him off. So I try to do whatever school, you know, teach him things as much as I can while I have that opportunity
to. You know, because I remember, like, going and seeing my dad during the summertime when I was a kid, and the car rides down there are honestly, like, what I remember the most was the time when I first got with him, and then the long drive down there talking or looking at whatever from being in his old beat-up station wagon back in the day or what. Like, those are the memories that I think back on. So, I mean, what you're doing right now, it may not seem like a big deal, the conversations or whatever that you have in the car, but those are the things that lasted with me. So those opportunities that you have, those moments of influence that you have right when you get him and you're in the car are like incredible moments to be able to have conversations that wouldn't just necessarily come up.
Right. I didn't realize that initially when I started having, you know, these conversations with him, but he'll get in the car next time and he's like, Dad, let's do multiplication. I'm like, okay. Like,
that's
this
awesome.
That's like what he looks forward to in getting in the car is to do something with me as we're driving so far. So I've enjoyed it. And it's, like I said, it was unexpected for me. That really wasn't my intent, but I'll take it. I mean, well, I was just trying to teach him. But
And that kind of leads me into what I wanted to talk about the most, just because, like, with now I'm about to have a child, a son more specifically, which I guess – like, when you found out Erica was pregnant, did you have a preference? Like, were you like, man, I really want to have a daughter, or I really want to have a son?
I really didn't. I was just so, like, you know, didn't know what was going on. Just, I don't know, scared, nervous, anxious. Yeah, I didn't really have a preference.
Well, I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to say that I was super selfish, and I definitely wanted a boy. But growing up, I mean, I'm the last Barthol boy on my side of the family, so it's kind of been drilled into my head, oh, you gotta have a son or the name doesn't go on.
Right.
And not necessarily that, but like I don't know. I mean, I grew up with six sisters, so I wanted to have a son because I was like, man, if we just have another girl, here goes another line of like 15 girls that are gonna be here and the boys are just getting the short end of the stick. But I wanted to have a son because there are so many things that I picked up from growing up that, like, a lot of bad things, a lot of good things, but I feel like I've learned a lot of stuff that I want to be able to impart on someone else, but do it in a constructive way and not necessarily in a way that's going to be detrimental, which I feel like has honestly been a lot of what I dealt with. Not necessarily from anybody's fault. Like, no one intentionally was like, man, I'm going to make this crappy for you growing up. But, like, I learned a lot of lessons that I probably could have learned an easier way, but I had to learn them in a roundabout sort of way. And so I feel like I had the ability to give a son some perspective that he wouldn't necessarily be able to get otherwise. And so I definitely wanted a son. But the larger thing was, what is actually being a dad mean to you? And specifically to a son, because you also have a son.
No, I mean, I feel the same sentiment. I mean, I want to be able to show Cameron, I guess give him a chance that, you know, maybe my dad didn't always give me, you know, to parent a different way than my dad did. And a lot of that, like, I want to do things, you know, in spite of my dad a lot. Just because I know how it affected me, and I don't want Cameron to feel a certain type of way about things.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to do things differently than my dad did. I'm not saying anything he did was wrong. Like, I learned from it, you know. I feel like I turned out okay.
No, you turned out great, buddy.
You know, there's nothing wrong with it, but I just want to do things differently. So, that, and I really want to, which I'm working on now, is I really just want to show Cameron what it means to walk with Jesus and, you know, what it means to be a Christian man.
Right.
So that's
the most important, like, ultimately, the most important lesson you can teach him.
Right. So I'm working on that myself, you know, and I'm working with him on, you know, different Bible studies. Well, not necessarily Bible studies, but just different, you know, stories in the Bible
right now.
Just kind of getting his feet wet, because I haven't taken him to church much. And as soon as this coronavirus stuff ends, you know, I plan on going full force with that. And I'm just enjoying, even though I may, you know, it may seem like I fail sometimes as a parent, I may feel that way. Cameron doesn't see that at all. Like, he's always hugging me, telling me he loves me, giving me hugs, giving me kisses, and I love it.
So that's a burden that you have to bear that he doesn't know about.
Right, like, he has no idea. Like, no matter what I do, like, I'm, so far, you know, I'm going to be good in his eyes.
Right. I mean, mine's in a similar vein to what you said. I mean, I grew up in a split household, growing up mostly with my mom and my stepdad, seeing my dad during the summer, and a lot of that was difficult because I didn't actually get to really know my dad until I was pretty much an adult, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, my stepdad did the best he could possibly do. He provided for us. He gave us a home out in a great school district that allowed me to have the good friends and the good school and everything that I needed to grow up to be a good person. But with that came a lot of hardship that ultimately didn't necessarily have to be there had just things gone in a different direction, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine how difficult it is to raise a child, let alone raise a child in an environment where you've got a bunch of kids and you're just doing your best to give the kids the best possible life that they can have. And so I just feel like that's why I want to set me and Stephanie up in the best possible way that we can, to where money is not an issue, and that way, like, that doesn't have to be a thing that I'm stressed about. I don't have to work two jobs like my stepdad did, working at night and working during the day.
Right.
And, like, I can't imagine coming home and then still having to deal with all the other stuff that's still there. And so that the challenge of doing that, I don't want my kids to have to notice that challenge. Like, if I have to do it and I've got to work two jobs to make everything work out, like, that's what I'm going to do. But I don't want them to know that I'm having to do that. And so I think, to me, being a dad is being able to take all these outside things that we're constantly being bombarded with as an adult and being able to internalize them but not actually project that out to my kids. If we're ever struggling, I don't want my kids to ever know that, because I don't want them to have an excuse to not be the best possible thing that they can be mm-hmm. at a given time. You know, I don't want them to think that, oh, we're struggling, I can't go out for baseball or football or something like that because we just don't have the money to do it. Not necessarily that was ever, like, thrown in my face, but, like, once you get to a certain age, you can see things.
Right.
And you understand what's going on. And I just don't want them to ever think that I'm not able to pursue this dream that I have because it's going to put a burden. Like, that's not mm-hmm. That's not their responsibility. Like, that's my responsibility as a dad to take that on. And so that's why, to me, that's what being a dad is taking all that in and then sheltering my kids from that while also still being able to give them all that I can as a dad. And like just like you said, showing them what it means to be a good Christian man and what my walk with Christ looks like, because that's what they're going to model theirs on. Like, if they don't see that I'm walking with Christ, why would they want to? Why do they feel like it's necessary? Just because the preacher says it on Sunday and we go to church doesn't mean that they're going to internalize that and actually do it. If they don't see their dad doing it, why do they need to do it, you know? And I want my kids to know that that's the actual most important thing, and not dealing with money or the stress from work or whatever else. And so hopefully I'm in the right about some of that stuff. Yeah. Again, I'm not there and I'm not actually doing it, so I don't know. But that's where my mind is with it anyway.
All right, wrap this up. Last thing. Looking forward, how do you want to change, you know, with your routine, behaviorally? Like, what do you want to improve on in order to be better for Barrett?
My biggest thing is patience, for sure. I am the most impatient person probably in the world. I don't want to wait for anything, and especially now that I'm an adult and have money and the ability to go get basically whatever I want whenever I want to. Like, if there's one day shipping available on Amazon, I'm paying for one day shipping. Like, I don't want to wait the 2 days.
Wow, is that bad?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, when I was a kid, it was always, like, if I wanted to do something, it was, oh, you've got to wait to do this because of X, Y, and Z. And now that I've gotten the taste of being able to just have it whenever I want it, I want to be able to do it. But, like, in a more serious vein, like, I have a bad temper, and I am very quick to, like, jump to anger when something doesn't go the way that I foresee it going.
Okay, so this is kind of a good lead into how do you plan on disciplining Barrett or any of your other kids, especially if you're quick to anger? I mean, are you going to let that affect?
Well, I mean, obviously I don't want to let it affect anything. Like, yeah. I want, in my head, my goal is to, I mean, when they're a toddler or whatever and they don't understand, like, I don't know exactly how you do that. I mean, you put them in timeout, you smack their hand, like, I don't know.
Do you plan on spanking?
I don't want to. Like in my mind, I don't want to. Like, that's definitely not something I look forward to doing.
I have spanked Cameron before. I don't even remember what it was for. I mean, it was kind of heat of the moment, but I don't think, you know, I didn't grab a belt or anything. It was just kind of, hey, you're not acting right.
Right.
Get your crap together. This is unacceptable. But, you know, I didn't plan on doing it, though. It was just kind of the heat of the moment.
Well, when they're a toddler, I don't really know. I mean, right. I guess you take away what it is that they're wanting, or what the thing that they're upset about. You put them in timeout. I don't know.
And again, there's no right or wrong answer.
Right. I mean, once they're old enough to understand what's going on, one thing that I really, really want to hammer home is if I'm telling them no, or they're getting a talking to because they did something wrong, I really want to explain to them why. Right.
They need to understand.
I'm doing it. Because as a kid, I feel like I got in trouble all the time for stuff that I did. I had no idea what I was getting in trouble for. Right. I didn't know why I was getting in trouble.
They say, do this, and you ask why, and it's like, because I said so, because I'm your dad, because I'm your mom.
Yeah,
and there's no explanation behind it.
Again, I don't think anybody sets out to just be like, oh, well, I'm just going to do this because I said so. No, like, clearly they're, like, the parents are stressed, and they're just, because I said so. Like, there's other things that are going on, but I want to eliminate all the other things that are going on, so that way I can actually sit down and say, hey, buddy, I'm getting upset with you because you could have gotten run over by a car running down the street, or it's not okay to do this right now because we just walked in the door from getting groceries and we need to put things up. If you can just wait just a few minutes, we can do exactly what you're wanting to do, but I need you to be able to sit down and just behave for a few minutes while we take care of things.
I think you try to carry this rough and rugged persona. I think you're going to get softened by Barrett.
I don't think I carry
I think
a
you will.
Rough and rugged persona.
I think you absolutely do. You try to anyway.
Well, I don't know. I think a lot of that's good for a lot of the time, you know? Like, my childhood taught me a lot of things that hardened me as an adult to be able to, like, put up with a lot of situations where, I mean, I'm at work all the time, and boss says do this. Well, that's stupid. Why would I do that? Because the boss said so, you know? And you still have to do it, but I want my kids to at least have the explanation for why. Oh, can I go outside and play? No. Why not? Because I said so. No. Because, buddy, it's 8:30 at night and you have homework still to do. Right. That's why you can't do it. If your homework was done and it wasn't getting dark right now, I would let you go play outside.
Right.
But this is why you can't. I'm not just saying it because I don't want you to go have fun. And that's the thing. I don't want them to think that I'm just trying to take away all the good things that they want to do. I want them to be able to do those things. I just don't want them, like, there's a time and place for all of that. And
you're going to make a great dad, Alex. You're well on your way.
That's yet to be proven, but I hope so.
Yeah.
We're going to see.
And I can echo a lot of the same sentiments that you just said. There's got to be a reason to why you're asking them to do things. And, you know, like, if they want ice cream after dinner, did you eat all your dinner? Because if you didn't, then you're not going to get ice cream. And they have to understand that. So I'm right there with you on that.
Yeah, we're going to see how it turns out. Hopefully good.
You'll be fine.
Hopefully good.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this episode of Backyard Relief. Thank you guys for joining us after this long, extended break that we've had.
Very long.
We do have more content coming. We've already got our next topic planned out. So tune into that and be looking for it. We'll see you guys later.
Peace.